Over the last 30 years of ministry, I have grown particularly fond of our lesson for today. Literally hundreds of times I have stood at a service or a graveside in memory of a loved one and read those wonderful words. I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 121 is called a psalm of ascent. Now the title Song of Ascent is given to 15 of the psalms, Psalms 120 through 134. And each one of those psalms starts with the ascription in Hebrew. And I'll try this. Don't tell Joel. Shir HaMa'alot, which means Song of Ascent. Now some call this a soldier's psalm and think it was penned in the camp when David was endangering his life and thus trusted God to cover his head in the day of battle. Others call it a traveler's psalm, but there's really nothing in it of military danger. And they think that David penned it when he was going abroad. Wherever we are, at home or abroad, we're exposed to danger more than we are aware of. And this psalm directs and encourages us to calm ourselves and be confident in God, and by faith to put ourselves under God's protection and commit ourselves to God's care. In the first two verses of this psalm, David assures himself of help from God. And in the latter verses, he assures others of it. This psalm teaches us to stay ourselves upon God as a God of power and a God of all sufficiency for us. I guess when I read all the different commentaries, I like the idea of it being a traveler's song. I can imagine someone walking in from the countryside, tired and road-weary, worn out from the walk and the Middle Eastern glaring sun. I can just see that traveler sitting down on the side of the path and lifting his eyes above the Jerusalem. And then after a moment of connection with God, the traveler feels the strength to go forward, to be helped along the road a bit farther. I chose the word help as my title today because it may just be the perfect prayer for these days in which we're living. I visited with a member of our church this past week, and this person asked me the simple question, how are we to live in the midst of all of this chaos we see around us? We live in a wild world, we do. A country where our government seems unable to function for the good of the people. And the level of violence in our communities and indeed across this nation has reached a critical level. If ever there was a cry for help to be had, this is it. So we cry out. We say, help, Lord. I can't handle another child's death by firearms. I don't know that we as a country can go through another mass killing. And yet we cannot seem to find a way out. There is an ongoing sense of chaos all around us as businesses and institutions seem to be going through these massive and demanding changes at every level of community and society. It's no wonder that many of us feel a sense of anxiety and uncertainty in our lives. We live in anxious and uncertain times. We look across the seas only to see death abounds from political unrest and natural disasters. And we're left helpless. We cry out to God to help. Let me tell you a little story A story about a friend of mine who went hiking with her sister one beautiful Sunday afternoon in the hills above Los Angeles. It was a beautiful day out there, looking down on the city. And they began walking the trails. And as they did so, it's a beautiful area, and they could see the skyline of the city. And in the distance, they could even catch a glimpse of the ocean. They separated in their hiking for a little while, and my friend stopped on some rocks to take a nap in the sun. About 20 minutes later, she awoke, and she wondered what could be taking her sister so long. Where had she gone? My friend looked up the trail a ways, and there was nothing there and behind her, but no sister. She didn't really pay attention to looking in front of her because there was only a steep cliff that dropped down several hundred feet. She could do nothing but wait for her sister to return. So my friend waited. And finally, she heard a small voice. "Help," it said. My friend looked in front of her, and there was her sister, crawling up the side of the cliff on all fours. She'd been walking along the path, and she stumbled, and she slipped feet first for a long moment. And she couldn't stop her momentum. Somehow, before she ran out of cliff, her feet caught a rock, and she stopped falling. She cried out loudly for help, but her voice was lost in the wind and in the cliff. So slowly she pulled herself up that cliff, crawling on her belly, her hands clutching the weeds along the way. By the time she got up to the top, her sister had no strength left and only could cry a weak but profound help. I think she was talking to God. I can certainly understand that. Whenever I've been standing at the many cliff sides of my life and hanging there, I've whispered or cried or shouted help to whoever would listen. But mostly I think I shouted to God. I have whispered that short one-word prayer before entering a quiet room. When I know someone will need the right words of a prayer in a vulnerable time. I've tried that prayer when I hear bad news with my family or my friends or loved members of our congregation. I have to admit, I even say it when I lose my keys or my phone. One of my favorite stories during my seminary time was on a Sunday morning, and I attended worship at an African-American church with a friend of mine who was their intern. He was just learning to preach, which is a whole different animal in the black church tradition. And as he began to preach, I could hear the traditional responsiveness of the congregation with their amen. But then I also would hear people praying out loud, "Help him, Lord. Help him, Jesus." And it was a wonderful feeling. The help prayer comes when we know we can't do it alone. It comes when we're at the end of our rope, hanging out there at the bottom of a cliff. When no human ears will hear us. But you know, I'm one of those people that for some reason resists asking for help. I mean, it's like when I'm driving. I hate to ask someone else for directions. It only confuses me and I never remember them anyway. I'm also not good at asking for help, I think, because I'm a minister. And I've been taught to be the helper instead of the helpee. Somehow I got the idea that it was a sign of weakness to ask for help. Growing up, I think we were taught to grin and bear it. Actually, we're taught not to grin so much either, but we did bear it. But I've learned over the years that I can't make it alone. And neither can a lot of other people. First, I was taught to be there for others, and that can be kind of addictive. You get to be the hero, the savior, the helper. And we know that there can be a lot of pride and power in that stance. But there comes a day when just being the big helper doesn't work anymore. You get tired and you cry out, help. But that also might be the moment that you figure out you need help as well. All the energy going out to others sets you up to fail. And the moment that happens is the moment that you know you need help, and it's that moment you turn to God. But you know, I think God already gets it. God knows that moment of utter helplessness just as we do. When every other thing is exhausted and only God can get there. I think that of that moment on the cross when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was a dark and a lonely cry for help. A plea for God to simply be there in that terrifying moment. I actually think that this is God's good and most truthful moment with us. When we've left everything else, have nothing left to cling to, and have to crawl up from whatever cliff we're hanging from. The author Annie Lamott wrote these words. She said, when we cry out for help or whisper it in our chest, we enter the paradox of not going limp and not feeling so hopeless that we can barely walk. And we release ourselves from the absolute craziness of trying to be our own or other people's higher powers. Help. When we come to that point in our life where we pray help, we have reached the end, and we're ready to begin again with courage and strength from somewhere. To move beyond this moment into the next one. It comes with the realization that it isn't all on us, that we're not alone. With strength from God, we can catch our toes on the rock and begin to crawl forward, sometimes on our bellies, one handful of weeds at a time. But up and out and into life, a life that will always be a little different. Because of the help that we got. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen.
Janice Wittig passed away on Thursday, October 8th. Janice is the mother of Scott Wittig, the mother-in-law of Carol Wittig, the grandmother of Lindsay DeFoe, and the sister of Barbara Lindell. Services were held. Mary Brower passed away on Monday. Her full legal name was Mary Louise Siebold Brower. Visitation will be held on Saturday, October 31st, that's this coming Saturday at 10 a.m., with memorial service to follow here in the nave at 11 o'clock. Also in our prayers, Mike Smith. We pray for their families and their friends and their caregivers. We thank God for all the blessings that we have received, including the blessings of all the volunteers, the members who are volunteered in this church in any way at all. And in today's chancel flowers are part of that because it's in honor of the volunteers and donors of this church. And it was donated by the Paris Flea Market Committee, Marion King, Cheryl Lund, Colleen Foster, and Lucy Miyasaki. And I think, Lord, we also have to pray for the wives and children who are passengers in cars when drivers refuse to ask for directions. So Lord, there's many, many prayers in our hearts, and now take a moment to pray in our own way.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we thank you for loving us so much that you placed us in such a wonderful, abundant world, a world overflowing with signs of your love and your grace, for the beauty of the earth experienced on a beautiful fall day like this one. We give you our thanks. For our family and our friends, our homes and the daily gifts of food and freedom, and all the other ways you bless us, we give thanks. On this day, Lord, we pause to thank you for the gift of the Scriptures and its message, a message that reaches from long ago and yet gives meaning to our lives today. Keep alive in each of us an appreciation for your word to us. We pray, O God, that you give to us a sense of awareness and gratitude for all your gifts. And give us also a sense of responsibility. Help us to overflow with love and generosity toward others, especially those who are in need. Lord, let us give in some small portion from the rich abundance that we have been given. On this day, dear God, we ask your blessings upon this church. Guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us to lead this church into the days and the weeks ahead, to meet the challenges of this changing world, and to bring to all the good news of your love. We offer our prayer in your Son's name.